Okay, the pylon's been pretty big. There's a lot of Nathan Lyon fans out there, and there's a lot of Adam Zampa non-fans, and it's not a development squad, the Australian Test team. No, I'm not sort of saying that is, but I do believe that eventually you've got to hand the baton over, and I'm not so sure Nathan Lyon will be hanging on to that baton much longer. He's starting to come to the end, but we all come to the end. Let me know, and I know more that than anybody. James Sutherland is Golf Australia CEO, and he's probably breathing a sigh of relief that he's not in the cricket chair nowadays. James, appreciate your time.
Oh, no worries, Tim.
Well, some big decisions made. Golf Australia announcing the 2021 Men's Australian Open and the Women's Australian Open of 2022 have been cancelled due to the COVID pandemic and travel restrictions. A tough decision to make, I know, simply because there are a lot of professional golfers in Australia who would still be able to play at the Australian Open and would have loved the opportunity.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just a sort of almost heart-wrenching decision to have to make. And especially, I mean, I started in the job 12 months ago. Golf Australia in the first week had to make a decision to cancel the Opens for last summer. And I would never have thought that 12 months later we'd be making the same decision again. It's just been an extraordinary time. And there's no one reason for it. There's just a multitude of things that really, when they all get put together, you find yourself in a position of saying, well, just on balance, it just does not make sense. And we know people aren't travelling into Australia, and the best Australian golfers are not coming home this summer, and we can't get the international talent. But as you rightly point out, we certainly feel for Australia's golfers who are here and haven't had those opportunities. And we'll just have to keep trying to find ways to keep some of our other events up. And I know the PGA are working very hard at that as well. And we'll do that as well with some of our domestic Opens.
I want to read you a text when I mentioned that you were coming on and the reason why you were coming on. I want to read you a text. It came from Daniel Fox, who is a WA-based professional who travels Australia and has played on the European Tour and plays up through Asia. He said, Foxy in Perth, very poor decision by Golf Australia to draw a line in the Australian Open. I appreciate not being able to fulfil the contract requirements for overseas players and exposure, but they have a due diligence to run the event for the players and the Golf Australia subscribers who pay affiliation fees each year. It's all their event as much as commercial partners. Thoughts?
I totally understand those sentiments. I think there'll be a lot of people that will be extremely disappointed that the men's and women's Opens won't be played this year. But we have got a responsibility of the game. You know, we're not a sport that has a huge balance sheet or the comfort of significant broadcast revenues. We are a sport that is funded from the bottom up, and we simply cannot afford to take risks in putting these events on, and we certainly can't afford to be incurring losses from hosting these sorts of events. So we've got to work our way through that, and it's not a decision that has been made lightly, and nor is it a decision that we make with any sort of comfortable feeling about it. We're very disappointed about it, and I guess, you know, we've just got to work our way through this pandemic and set our sights on bigger and better things when next summer comes around.
I appreciate the situation you're in, and you know, I can see the decision where it's come from in regards to Golf Australia, but the Australian Open is the Australian Open. Now, let's take away the TV coverage or whether there have been any free-to-air rights regards to, and take away the big prize packet. Could you still not run the Australian Open as a reduced Australian Open on a reduced cost somewhere to actually still at least mark it down as the Australian Open and give the Australian-based players who can get to the venue to play in it? Can't you still run it and put it down? And people would know it was COVID affected and it was a reduced field and a reduced financial windfall for the winner of the event. Could you still not run it and still give them the opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, I think that those sorts of scenarios and trying to work through those possibilities were definitely part of our due diligence and considerations around this decision, because Now, the starting point for us was, we wanted to find a way through and put ourselves in a position to get these events off the ground. But I mean, they're very expensive events to host for a start, and people don't probably understand the economics of golf events. And certainly, they're very different. I've come from cricket, and the economics of a cricket event is very, very different to golf, and we rely very heavily on commercial support and government support. And quite frankly, those supporters, a scaled down event is not what they've signed up for. So from that perspective, it's very difficult to try to say to them that we need you to pay a certain amount when they're not getting the exposure or the benefits that they have previously become accustomed to and signed up for.
The Women's Australian Open was set down for Cooyonga in Adelaide, I think, in February next year, and that's also been cancelled. That's some time off. You're obviously not hopeful and have had to make a decision fairly early in regards to putting it on the back burner.
Well, I think the thing with the Women's Open previously is it has been sanctioned by the LPGA Tour, and we've had a significant field of 120, 140 players and visitors from the US Tour LPGA Tour that have come out. We can't get them in for this event, and we don't have that sort of scale of field. We don't have the number of professional players here to make it a worthwhile event. So from that perspective, it gets scaled down, and then really draws it into significant question. And again, obviously comes back again to that commercial support and not wanting to sell something to someone that's paid for or committed to paying for something very different.
James Sutherland, our guest, Golf Australia CEO. James, just in regards to professionals who this is their living, and whether they're Australian, they're not playing overseas, and they rely on the Aussie tour just to keep their head above water, and it's not a lucrative tour by any stretch of the imagination. Is there any recourse, but is there any financial support? And I know you don't have wells and wells of cash at Golf Australia, but how do they seek some financial support or assistance from the golfing fraternity because this is their livelihood. This is as much as their livelihood is as a cricketer or a footballer or a soccer player or whatever it may be, or a basketballer. Is there any financial offering of support from Golf Australia for some of these professionals?
Well, I think, ultimately the professional golfers in Australia are members of the PGA, and we're working very closely with the PGA on... Yep. Making sure that collectively we can form a better and more sustainable and bigger summer of golf. I think that's our plan. It's very hard to do that effectively in a global pandemic, and I feel for the golfers who are domestically based here. I mean, they can't even move from state to state at the moment, so. Let alone play in many golf events, or golf events that are being played are in any case being scaled down. It's a very, very difficult time for them, as it is for many, many people in our community. I mean, people. I've been in the job at Golf Australia for 12 months, and there's about 25% of the staff at Golf Australia I haven't even met yet. They're just the unique and unusual circumstances that. An example of the unique and unusual circumstances we're all in at the moment. We're very hopeful that there's some light at the end of the tunnel. And as I say, we're moving into the same office with the PGA. The two organisations have never been closer. Their membership is sadly affected by the circumstances around events of the pandemic and the tour and what have you. And we're working together to improve that. More events, bigger prize money, all of those things are things that Rome wasn't built in a day, but we're very hopeful that working together we'll be able to achieve something over the course of the next few years.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. The summer of golf's going to be huge once it's up and running, of course, 2022, 2023, and I'm sure that's where the focus is with the return of both the Opens for both the men's and women's, and let's hope we can see some light at the end of the tunnel. Appreciate your time, James.
Pleasure, Tim. Thanks for chatting.
Yeah, good on you, mate. James Sutherland, Golf Australia CEO, and our thoughts are with all those professional golfers. And you talk about being pro golfers. They're not on the big bucks that you think. They're not on the US, the European Tour, the LPGA Tour. They are just struggling pros who you see at your local course trying to make a quid. They're pretty good at what they do, but it would be great for the door to open. This is Dwayne's World.